this clear. Can do, can do. This guy says the horse can do. If he says the horse can do, can do, can do. I take him down and tie, cause I'm the more in line.
Okay. FM Reverse. You hear those horse racing songs, you hear the casino, and you know it is, of course, a big racing day. Yes, the Breeders' Cup, ladies and gentlemen. The Breeders' Cup is here, 2021. Getting into the office now. Shut out the riffraff for the casino. We want to get right down to all the action at the Breeders' Cup. I am your host. This is If M Reverse, the Breeders' Cup podcast. Dwayne Colucci, race and sports manager of the Rampart Casino in Las Vegas, Summerlin, Las Vegas, and looking forward to a great Breeders' Cup. And, you know, it's become a tradition where we get the major races, the Derby, Preakness, Belmont Stakes, and we try and get, some concise handicapping going. Several publications that I also contribute to. Be on the lookout. Two Lee Thoroughbred Takes. I'll have several picks. The Ron Flatter podcast, the horse racing podcast, was also taped with the round table, myself, Chris Andrews, Johnny Avello, and Ron Flatter. So lots of happenings. It's going to be great at the Rampart Casino. We definitely have plenty of seating. And looking forward to this Breeders' Cup. I mean, Del Mar, where the turf meets the surf down at Old Del Mar. And, you know, another Breeders' Cup, their second Breeders' Cup. I believe the last one was 2017. And they do a pretty good job for one of those smaller racetracks that we always talk about. You know, smaller track like a Keeneland, Lone Star, similar to that. Only Del Mar is in the unique position of being right on the beach. Just a majestic setting. They also now have a November meet that started actually when we recorded this podcast. So, you know, Del Mar's got a lot of happenings, very close proximity to a fabulous city in San Diego, close proximity to Las Vegas, where we are home based. And, you know, a lot of my customers will make the venture to go down there and enjoy the races and, just to get that fabulous vibe of the Breeders' Cup. And to be a part of a Breeders' Cup and to witness one is always something special. I've found that in my lifetime. I've attended several Breeders' Cup back in the day at Belmont Park, Aqueduct, etc. And then also got to frequent at Santa Anita. So, you know, the Breeders' Cup is just the world championships of horse racing, if you're not familiar. And if you're not familiar with the FM Reverse podcast, we do a lot of horse racing. And, you know, it's definitely, I'm a horse racing advocate, brought up around the racetrack, and just really love the horses and this sport. So I'm definitely one of the major advocates of this sport. Thank you again for tuning in to FM Reverse. It's been a little while. You know, we go through the sports, we go through the horses, we try and capture your listening to the major sporting events from the bookmaker's point of view. And this time around, we're going to also give you some handicapping from the bookmaker's point of view, only on the horses and the Breeders' Cup. So if you're not familiar with If M Reverse, I do love the horses. I always have a segment on this podcast, and this whole podcast will be dedicated. And we definitely will get back to the pro football happenings, the NHL. Lots going on, especially here in Las Vegas with the NHL, Las Vegas Golden Knights, the home team, Las Vegas Raiders, just tons going on, Gruden, Ruggs, those who are familiar in this town definitely know what's going on, and it's a unique situation right now, and well covered and well documented by all the local papers and, sporting radio, what have you, sporting news, sporting TV, everything is just surrounding the Raiders and the Las Vegas Golden Knights as well here in Las Vegas. And the media is definitely having a lot of fodder when you're dealing with these two teams. So very unique now. We have sports teams in Las Vegas, and they're definitely adding to the intrigue and all the parody of what's going on and the happenings of, you know, most of the sporting world. So, yeah, we will get back to that on FM Reverse. Definitely going to be covering the sports. My selections also, they're available for my NFL point spread selections are available. GamingToday.com. I am a part of the Bookies Battle, and that's been renewed. Even though they're not in a paper publication, you can find some of my NFL selections there weekly against the point spread. NHL selections are always, weekly on ESPN, Baton Rouge down there with Jimmy Ott, and we try to give a lot of NHL winners. We've been very successful on that radio broadcast, and that's broadcast each and every Thursday evening, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, and you can catch that on the internet, ESPN.com and ESPN 104.5, I believe that is, so Baton Rouge. Just look that up, and you could always catch the live broadcasts as well as the archive shows. And we're going to dive into the Friday card right off the bat. We're going to start with the Breeders' Cup races, and I'll try and give you, as concise of selections I could give on these Breeders' Cup races, definitely starting with the Friday card and moving on into the Saturday card. So, yeah, it's great to be back here with you folks. FM Reverse, thank you again for listening in. Also, like I said, you could find me on social media at NYBookieDuane. That's at NYBookie, D-U-A-N-E, Twitter handle, and also Instagram. Definitely all over social media. We're putting out videos from the Rampart Casino each and every week, recapping the happenings in the NFL and pro football. Sometimes some college happenings. Talked about the Breeders' Cup a little on the little clip that we had this week. And that's already available on Instagram. And you can catch most of that stuff on the Rampart Casino feeds. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Rampart Casino, just a fabulous, fabulous facility. Like I said, we're all geared up for the Breeders' Cup. Unfortunately, we're not going to have our annual Breeders' Cup seminar with Bob Icke this year. A little change off. Mr. Icke will be front and center at Del Mar, and I don't blame him, I'll be honest with you. Wish I could definitely go there, but, you know, we got a lot of responsibility as Race Ed Sports managers and directors and, you know, just a busy, busy weekend. It starts Friday with the racing, and then you just slide into the college football slate, like I said, and then you get the pro football and so much going on. And, you know, as of this podcast, you now have Aaron Rodgers, who has been struck with COVID, and, you know, a lot of injuries, like I said, the parity with the Raiders. You have the Kansas City Chiefs that are struggling. And Tom Brady, he's also looking to find his way, get his team into that Super Bowl mode that we like to call it, that they usually find Tom Brady-led teams, Bruce Arians, the Super Bowl defending champions. Buffalo Bills are playing well. Definitely a lot going on. Even if you go down to the lower class team, Zach Wilson of the rookie of the New York Jets, he went down, and then you had Mike White come in and throw for over 400 yards and beat Joe Burrow. So these are some of the things that we cover, not only on FM Reverse, but we cover on that little segment that we put on Instagram from the Rampart Casino each and every week. So definitely a lot going on. And, if you just follow my feeds, you could definitely catch me and my analysis. Also, each and every Sunday night, we've also been now joining VEASAN and Scott Soderberg, going over what happens and looking forward, the look ahead to the next week's NFL lines. And that's 10:30 on VEASAN Pacific each and every Sunday evening. So, you know, lots of happenings, lots of breakdowns, lots of information, lots of bookmaker knowledge that I'm trying to share throughout social media and this fabulous FM Reverse podcast. So no hesitation, let's get into race 6 at Del Mar on Friday. We're going to start it right up with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. And this is going to be contested at 5 furlongs, $1 million purse. All the Breeders' Cup races have that minimum, and just a fabulous, fabulous card, like I said, at Del Mar. I'm going to cut to the chase in this race. I'm looking at the Wesley Ward trainees. I definitely think Wesley is a great trainer when it comes to the two-year-olds, when you got those turf races, and he definitely breeds a lot of speed and has his animals ready to run early. Remember that, guys. Wesley Ward is a supreme conditioner with 2 to 3 year olds. You won't see this guy with too many older horses. Definitely looking then to get into the breeding game as his horses develop at the 2 and 3 year old ages. And the 6 here, Twilight Gleaming. Gets Irad Ortiz. This is a very, very nice horse. Ward and Irad have been a solid combination. And even though this is the first race since August, you know, coming back from France and a successful trip over there, I will say, went to Great Britain, went to Ascot, ran very respectable with John Velasquez. Then Leonfranco Dettori takes the mount and a nice win in a listed stake race at France. Now ships back to America after 2 successful races in America, you know, a maiden second place finish, then got on the turf at Belmont and just crushed with this jockey, Irad Ortiz. So this is a very, very quick animal. Like I said, I like Wesley Ward in these, certain conditions, and I definitely think he can get the most out of some of these horses. Also now I look over the race, and number 3, Go Bears Go. Now, this is a horse that hasn't done much in the last 2 starts, but let's look at this horse overall. The 4 starts prior were just amazing. And the horse is shortening back up now to 5 furlongs. You're getting John Velasquez. Blinkers are on this horse. Johnny V is definitely one of the top Hall of Fame riders out there. And he's definitely going to know how to put this horse into a sharp position. I like the 3 post. The blinkers are on, so they're going to try and get a little more speed out of Go Bears Go. And this horse definitely can make some noise at the top of the stretch and during the final 16th of a mile. So if you're looking for a price and a foreign entity, Go Bears Go is definitely one of the horses I would look at. Also, another foreigner, Hierarchy. Very nice runner. And you look at this, Murphy in the saddle, 12-1 morning line. Has done little wrong. Very nice run last time in a group 2. Definitely going to be a horse that you want to watch. I have to say that you have several outlets, like I said, on social media. You look at TVG, The Works. These are definitely things that could help you when you're handicapping races like this, guys. You have to see how the foreigners get to the surroundings of Del Mar, and if they get skittish, if they get excited, if they really acclimate to their surroundings. This is going to be definitely a very, very good race. Wesley Ward also has another runner, 5-2 morning line, Averly Jane. Tyler Gaffalione has just been such a big money rider. And you look at those last 2 races, when a horse could win at Saratoga and at Keeneland, you have to look at this horse's chances. And they were just such nice wins, and especially since this horse got on the turf, this filly, 2-year-old, definitely a horse to be reckoned with. 4-4 in her career. Gonna take a ton of money. That's why I kind of looked at the other Wesley Ward runner, the 6 horse, because I think we'll get a little more favorable of a price. Also, if you have to use a horse that's acclimated with the surroundings, not so much a California runner, but one-timer. I witnessed that race with E.T. Baird shipping in, and this horse really excelled and crushed at Santa Anita that day, which was a nice win and a testament to show that the horse could ship in. And Larry Rivelli, top-notch Chicago trainer, unfortunately no more Arlington, so you're going to see this guy ship around a little more. So this is going to be a high-value race, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Twilight Gleaming. That's my first pick, the number 6 horse. Going with Go Bears Go, also in exotics. Also, the other horses I spoke about, Hierarchy, I will use in exotics, and definitely Averly Jane and One Timer. These are definite horses that I could use and go deep in this race. If I do key the 6, which it looks like I will, make some exacta boxes, definitely with the Go Bears Go, and so on. Okay, moving on to the seventh race on the Friday card, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. I will say this is pretty much a light field just because Echo Zulu is in the race. The only question now I have with Echo Zulu is why the rider switch now? Why is Santana off? Why is Joel on? These are all things you got to look into and definitely important when you're handicapping. And, you know, I think Joel will definitely take, this is a professional horse that has done little wrong and is just crushed in all of her races. So how do you really see this horse faltering and not running a big race? I really can't see it happening. I think the horse has an excellent chance. This is why you're seeing a 4-5 morning line. Competition is coming up a little light. Okay, yeah, you have this William Brett Calhoun horse. You also have the Brad Cox horse. Hidden Connection is a nice horse. I mean, the speed figures say that the horse is very close. This filly is very close to what Echo Zulu does on the racetrack. But, you know, I need to see more. The rider is a little inexperienced in Ray Lou Gutierrez, but very talented. And William Brett Calhoun, definitely a big money trainer. He'll have the horse ready, but is the horse good enough? That's the whole key. And getting to the Brad Cox trainee, you know, winner of the Alcibiades. Definitely a big prep race when you look at it leading into the Juvenile Fillies. Nice really run there. Florent Giroux, one of the top money riders in the country. He's hitting at 21% this year. And when he does team up with Cox, it's very formidable. They do show, you know, over a sample size, a $2.30 ROI on the season. Horse has a 59 breezing. Brad Cox, the Eclipse Award-winning trainer, right now possibly the best trainer in America. You know, Chad Brown will have something to say about that. Steve Asmussen, you know, he definitely has his say as well. And, you know, Echo Zulu, I think, is the horse to beat. I don't like the rider switch, but that's definitely, you know, Asmussen put a positive spin on it. Just, you know, Joel is a little more acclimated with the Del Mar surroundings. So I think that's more of what he was thinking there. And I think that could play out to Echo Zulu's favor. I'm going to probably just make a couple of exactas, key in Echo Zulu, and it's going to be hard to use these favorites. So, you know, in my opinion, I'm going to use Tarabai. The horse that ran actually second in the spinaway to Echo Zulu. I think Javier Castellano will have this horse in a nice position to close if the race starts to unravel. You know, I think that some of these horses will not be able to continue on the way Echo Zulu has. But yet, you know, you always have the distance limitations because you don't have the two turns at Belmont when you run a mile. So didn't run the two turns, whereas Juju's Map did run the two turns as well as Hidden Connection. So a lot of people play that angle, but I think this horse is just too phenomenally talented to lose. So I'm going to go with Echo Zulu. Use Tarabi in the second position with Javier Castellano. Maybe make another exacta deciding between the two or the five. Most likely I will look at the Brad Cox horse there for second as well. But my selection in the seventh will be Echo Zulu. Okay, moving on to race eight. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf. Another race where, you know, wide open. You're looking at the betting line, and the one horse at 5-1 is your morning line favorite. So this is another race where, you know, you have foreign entities. A lot of people feel that this is a big money race where you can make some money because you're not going to have one of those favorites like Echo Zulu or somebody like that that's hitting a board at 2-5, 4-5, you know. And you're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of that on this Breeders' Cup card. You have a lot of favorites. You have a lot of these horses, especially Saturday. You know, you're going to see Jackie's Warrior go off at a short price. You know, Life is Good is going to go off at a short price. So this is one of the races where a day before, you might be able to make some nice pocket change with a horse like even if Pizza Bianca wins the race, which I think she definitely has an advantage here. Even though the rail is a tough position, I like the way she ran at Woodbine. You know, she got the mile already, had a rough trip, which was a learning experience. And, you know, Christophe Clement, we know he's been had a tough go of it at the Breeders' Cup, but he definitely is a world-class turf trainer, and he definitely knows how to have horses ready. You're getting Jose Ortiz. the other of the Ortiz brothers. We know how documented they are. Kid was out there. He was already winning races on Wednesday. I saw him win a race. Just a phenomenally talented rider. Pizza Bianca has an excellent chance here. I move on to the two horse then as well, Cairo Memories. I mean, you're looking at a 12-1 price here. You get Kent DeSormo. You have a horse that crushed over this track, improved then 3 seconds when shipping over to Santa Anita, not even shipping, just taking a car ride over to Santa Anita. And Hess has been very outspoken about this horse. So, you know, you got to look for these horses that have been in the California area as well. As much as I like Pizza Bianca, the way she traveled, ran great at Saratoga, and you ship up to Woodbine, now you go to the West Coast. That's definitely going to be a phenomenal run if this horse could win the race. But Cairo Memories has little to travel, definitely well-conditioned. Hess is a top trainer. He had a really nice, towards the end of his Del Mar meet, he was having a rough go of it, but he's also in Florida and all over the place. So keep an eye on this horse. This horse definitely has a chance. And if Kent could really, he's been hot lately, I got to say, Kent DeSormo, giving him some credit. This horse's last two races have just been monstrous. So don't let the price fool you. Don't look at the buyer speed figures. This horse has enough talent that could definitely run in this race and compete at a high level. Okay, now I'm looking at some of these outside horses. Without a doubt, you're going to look at Chad Brown. We always talk about him, the 7 horse, consumer spending. Very nice run in the last race there at Laurel, the Salima. And, you know, goes from Carrasco to Pratt, which is huge. Flavian rode the horse at Saratoga, so definitely knows the horse. Flavian Pratt, master of the turf at Del Mar especially. So keep your eye on this horse. Watch on the board, 8-1. You know, this is a race where we told you guys you're going to get a lot of nice prices. So if you like the East Coast contingency, you look at Brown a little, you look at the combination of getting the West Coast rider that really knows the surroundings. So keep your eye on the board. I'm going to use this horse in exotics. You look now at number 9, another nice horse here, Koala Princess, beautiful, beautiful run at Monmouth, and then caps it off at Kentucky Downs with a masterful win. Joel Rosario, we can't speak enough, Arnel Delacour, great turf trainer, so keep your eye on this, definitely a 21% trainer, another horse that is taking action. You could see 6-1 on the morning line, slightly less than Pizza Bianca. And, you know, definitely an accomplished horse. A horse that could definitely make some noise. Then you also have underneath a Phil D'Amato runner, another Chad Brown runner. And then you come to Malavath, the foreign entity, with Ryan Moore. And definitely this horse has done very little wrong in those last 2 wins, a Group 2 win in France, and very nice account of herself. Miss Ensign, right underneath, another horse. Very nice. Has some nice runs. You know, the first two were very nice. Then stepped it up to the Group 1. You know, got a piece. Ran fourth. It's respectable. Murphy in the saddle. Another horse that, you know, 6-1. You see it 6-1, 8-1. 6-1, 8-1. Now you come to the 14. California Angel. Rafael Bejarano, who knows Telmar very well. And he refound himself now in Kentucky. He's at the top of his game again. So Rafi definitely with a closing horse like this, who Jessamine ran great in the Jessamine Grade 2 race at Keeneland, and California Angel definitely has the closing kick. Now is going to be compromised by that post, very difficult run out of the 14 hole, but this horse definitely could angle over, maybe make a late closing run, maybe make the late run and run by them all at the end. But my final decision on this race, the eighth race at Del Mar on Friday, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Philly Turf, is going to be Pizza Bianca. I'm going to stick with her. I'm definitely going to then use the two. Like I said, Cairo Memories, you got to get that price. Hess, I think these inside posts are a little more favorable than going all the way on the outside. But I will use California Angel. And probably I'm going to use Koala Princess as well. Delacour, like I said, 21%. But Pizza Bianca will be my go-to horse there. I'm going to make several superfectas and exotics in this race. So, you know, when you hear me using 2, 3, 4 horses behind, yeah, because I'm looking to catch lightning in a bottle. And, you know, when you have the next race coming up and there's only then a couple of breeders, couple of races left. And if you think Jack Christopher is going to win in the next race, the ninth race, the juvenile, then you definitely have to take into consideration looking for a price, going deep here, spending a little more money in the eighth race. Always remember value and bankroll. Very important when you're doing horse racing, guys. I always stress that. You have to get value for your dollar. And this is a race where if you pick the winner, if you get a trifecta, if you get a superfecta, you're going to get a lot of value for your dollar in this Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. So don't forget what I said. Pizza Bianca, probably Exacta Box with Cairo Memories, but Key and Bianca with the two, definitely going to look at as well. The 7, the 9, possibly the 12 and the 14. Okay, now we move on. The champion, Jack Christopher, 9-5. So-called champion so far. You know how these two-year-old races go, though. You know, you win the champagne. That don't always transpire to the Breeders' Cup. That don't always transpire to going, on to win the Derby or some of those preps like the Fountain of Youth, Florida Derby. You know, a horse didn't run two turns. We got that same old story. You got a horse on the outside that Bob Baffert trains that ran two turns in Corniche. A beastly run at Del Mar, already won over the track. This is, let me tell you, this is going to be a battle. And don't ever sell Bob Baffert short on his home racetrack. Bob Baffert is the master. Well documented the stuff that has gone on surrounding Medina Spirit, surrounding Justify, surrounding Gamine. All these horses where there have been possible, well, I'm not going to say possible, but some drug test failures and some problems that Mr. Baffert has been surrounded with, and the parody of the MYRA looking to pull him, then the litigation where he put a stop to that, was able to get a couple of horses that ran at Saratoga. I don't think he felt as comfortable. And we did see, I was there when Medina Spirit won that shared belief at Del Mar. And he seemed a little more comfortable with the crowd and his horses at Del Mar. So, this is why I'm saying when you look at a horse like Corniche, you know, it's on his home track. And Bob Baffert doesn't have to do much. You know, there's no shipping involved, whereas Jack Christopher and Chad Brown have to ship all the way across the country. Big wins, though, at Saratoga and Belmont. Just huge, that champagne. And it just jumps off the page, guys. And, you know, as much as you like Corniche, you still have to respect Chad Brown and respect what he brings to the table. And I'll tell you the truth, if I'm looking anywhere else, I'm looking at the other Bob Baffert trainee, Barroza. And not just because my friend owns a restaurant named Barroza on Woodhaven Boulevard over there in Queens, but I also feel that the horse definitely, stepped up third time around, third off the layoff, was the best run. You're getting J.J. Hernandez in the saddle. Now, it's not quite, you know, Jose Ortiz or Mike Smith, but definitely Hernandez is a top, top West Coast rider, and especially at Del Mar, he loves to excel. And keep in mind, this horse does have speed figures comparable, especially at the distance. Remember, this horse has the highest buyer speed figure for any route race, in this particular race that has gone, you know, the two turns. So definitely, you know, we do look at the Jack Christopher and you say, wait a minute, he's got a 102. Yeah, but that's one turn. Remember that. Santa Anita, two turns. The massive oval at Belmont, one turn. So you're going to see a lot of money, go on the inside outside here, the 1 and 12. I think if you're looking for a price, I would recommend betting Barroza to win. That's my opinion. And, you know, maybe make a 3-horse box with Jack Christopher and Corniche. I don't see much more you could go with here. I mean, Command Performance, definitely, if he improves, Irad Ortiz, Todd Pletcher, you know, chase Jack Christopher, but it was respectable, you know, but you're dealing also with a horse that is still a maiden, so keep that in mind, but, you know, and the horse will probably be shorter than Barroza, So I'd much rather have a horse that won already and is acclimated to the the Southern Cal area, as opposed to Todd Pletcher shipping his horse as a maiden and already losing to the champion Jack Christopher, would have to make up a lot. Whereas Barroza didn't run against Jack Christopher yet, so fresh face, anything could happen. But I like those three horses. I really think Jack Christopher is the horse to beat. Corniche has a fabulous home court advantage, and that big win at Del Mar. But Barroza does have the best buyer and can definitely compete here. So, moving on to the 10th, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and this will be the final race on the Friday card. So, sliding right into this race, usually the juvenile you would think would be the last race. No, now you have the juvenile turf that is the last race, and another race where you can really go deep. You see the favoritism. I believe it's Modern Games from the rail there with Buick. He's at 5-1, and maybe somebody shorter in there, guys. I don't have, I'm looking on the forms here. Morning line, that does look like the favorite. So moving on. Also, you have this Dubawi Legend, 4-1 with Doyle. So two foreign horses that are both, actually morning line favorites, and Dubawi Legend will be the morning line favorite at 4-1. Definitely has an excellent chance, but you go all the way to the outside once again, guys. And you have to keep in mind, Del Mar isn't the widest of courses. This is not like Belmont, where you have this huge, huge turf course, a huge racetrack. This is Del Mar, plays a little differently. I think that you definitely have to be a little more on the inside as opposed to, drawn all the way outside. But if you navigate the right trip, anything's possible, and you have the horse in the Breeders' Cup, the win could take place. But I'm going to give you my best bet on the Friday card here, believe it or not, guys. You got to wait till the 10th race. I'm going with McKinnon. And the horse is named after Nate McKinnon, fabulous hockey player. That's right up my alley. But I'm looking mainly at those two races at Del Mar. And this is the winner of the Del Mar Juvenile Turf. Then went up to Santa Anita, crushed in the Zuma Beach. Has two wins at Del Mar and is trained by Doug O'Neill, who was is going as hot as anybody could go right now, guys. Doug O'Neill definitely at the top of his game. You look at the last 3 weeks, he's been on fire. Sizzling, 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 sizzling. And I'm going for another price. I'll be honest with you guys. I like the three of us a little. I think Danny Goggin has a nice little animal here. I think that win at Saratoga was just a crushing, crushing win. At 5.5 furlongs, very nice time, solid effort there, and then shipped right up to Monmouth, where you can't really use a whip and you, at all. I mean, you can't use a whip, and this horse just dominated. So now you ship out, after a mile victory at Monmouth, and you ship it out west, and I think Luis Saez definitely knows what to do. Top rider. I always talk about Saez and his jobs with the Maximum Security and some of the top horses in the country. He has really come into his own and dominated the Saratoga meet this year, which is so hard to fathom when you know the Ortiz brothers, and you just think Irad always has the upper hand, or Jose and Johnny V, and Luis Saez was right up there and just dominated that meet. So you're getting one of the best riders in the country. Also, you definitely have to look at Dettori's horse, the two. Al Bahar, Charles Appleby, that win in the summer was so nice at a mile, 135 and change, got that easily, hopped at the start, even had a little rough start, and just was able to crush and transpire those three victories in a row to a fourth victory when shipping overseas. Now has to go to Santa Anita, but I love a horse that seems so battle tested the way Al Bahar does. And this horse is going to take some beat. This horse is not an easy horse to beat, I'll be honest with you. You also then you look at the one horse, like I said, Modern Games with Buick. Buick's a great, great rider. And you look at those last four races and done very little wrong and has stepped up even to get a grade three victory. But I think the two is a little more advanced just because of the fact the grade one victory in Canada now ships to California. Al Bahar, I will definitely use. But as I said, the number six horse, McKinnon, is my best bet. You look at those two Del Mar races, they just jump off the page. Continued the winning at Santa Anita. Doug O'Neill, who is just unbelievable right now. I know that last race was hand-timed, but you see a 133 and 4. Clipped heels, just crushed. This is a beautiful animal. Survived adversity that last time and is definitely going to be tough to beat. And if we could get anywhere near 8-1, I'm going to be ecstatic. So, like I said, definitely going with the 6. McKinnon. We'll use the 3 Dakota Gold, the 2 Al Bahar, and probably the 1 Modern Games. And, you know, I'm not really going the route of Chad Brown, which is surprising a lot of people. Chad is my favorite. I just think some of these West Coast horses are a little more favorable because they have the home field advantage, as I like to call it. Portfolio Company is a monster. You know, you're getting Pratt again. Definitely the runner-up in the Pilgrim, also the runner-up in the With Anticipation. Maybe would have liked the horse if, you know, won one of those two grade two races, but, you know, didn't, so it really didn't work out. I think there's a few more accomplished horses here than the Chad Brown runner, so like I said, I'm going with McKinnon, and hopefully I'll wrap up that Friday with some nice wins, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you, because, you know, coming into Saturday, Saturday's going to be tough. I'll be honest with you. And right off the bat, you start, you go right into the fourth race, and you have this great matchup of the outside horses. And what do I mean by the outside horses? I mean the 4 CC, the 5 Gamin, and the 6 Bella Sophia in the Filly and Mare Sprint. So, you know, Gamine has chose her spots, or I should say Bob Baffert has chose her spots very wisely. This is a champion filly, a beautiful filly, you know, banked over, what, 1.6 million or something, you know, just very accomplished. Going to be tough to beat. You get the master, John Velasquez, who has ridden this horse now basically every career start and has just dominated. You know, you see the Kentucky Oaks loss, but that was stretching out. And actually, the horse that beat her is in the distaff there. And, you know, Swiss Skydiver was in that race. That was definitely a race that came up very tough. But after that, Gamine is just crushed and crushed and crushed. The 124 is no problem. You know, winner of, you know, so many different races, whether it be the test, already won this Filly and Mare Sprint in just great fashion, the Ballerina. Amazing racehorse. So, you know, you get the Bob Baffert home court again, but you're looking at the 3-5 morning line and you got to like scratch your head. Is Bella Sophia good enough? Once again, Luis Saez, can't talk about this guy enough. Probably going to get his first Breeders' Cup win on Saturday, though. I should say first win on the Saturday Breeders' Cup card. I don't want to say his first Breeders' Cup win, but he's going to win this race. And I like Bella Sophia. I think she is going to be able to outbreak Amin, just put some pressure from the outside. I know a lot of people think CeCe could come and pick up the pieces with Victor Espinoza. Very nice racehorse. But Amin has beat this horse already. And, you know, she's going to really have to step up her game, CeCe, if she wants to win this one. I really like Michael McCarthy as a conditioner. I think the horse has an excellent chance if the race falls apart. But I'm thinking that Rudy Rod will have Bella Sophia on edge. He's looking for his first Breeders' Cup victory. Very tough race, but I'm going to take Bella Sophia to 6 over the 4 and the 5. I hate to be chalky, but, you know, in a race like this, you have to be a bit chalky. Okay, moving on now. Another turf sprint. And what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about Wesley Ward again. And I'm going to look at that combination. You know, I'm looking at the 3, Irad Ortiz and Wesley Ward. But I'm going to take another route. You know, Ward has 3 in this race in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Contested 5 furlongs. 5th race at Del Mar on Saturday. Beautiful, beautiful field here. You got a bunch of good, good horses. You have the returning champion, Glass Slippers, breaking from the rail. And like I said, Wesley Ward with 3 runners. I'm not going with the Irad runner. I'm going to go with the John Velasquez runner, Arrest Me Red. That last race in the Belmont Turf sprint was very, very impressive. Look at that time. Just jumps off the page. The horse was in hand, just held well. Beautiful ride. I know IRAT goes to the three, but Johnny V did ride this horse prior at Saratoga. So you really don't know here, who had the decision. Johnny V rode Golden Pal last time. So that is switching places. Very intriguing. And I like Wesley Ward, pulling a little, finagling and some tricks. I definitely think I'm going to go with the longer price. I like a Recipe Red. I like those last two races. I think they jump off the page. I'm definitely going to use Golden Pal, probably in the second position. And take a look at this six horse. A Case of You, who was able to finish ahead of Glass Slippers twice. And Glass Slippers won this race last year. So if you're looking for a foreign entity, this is the horse. Wheeling gets the mount. I definitely think that the horse has a great chance. And especially off them last two grade ones, guys. Group ones, grade ones. Just a consistent racehorse. The horse finished ahead of the reigning Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint champion. Keep that in mind. Beat Glass Slippers twice this year. And Glass Slippers is going to take a lot of money. You know, Ward's going to take a lot of money, but, Glass Slippers is definitely going to take some money. If you're looking for an alternate, I think the six is coming into the race a lot better than Glass Slippers. And then you talk about the next Wesley Ward horse, the number nine, Kamari. Definitely has a chance. Joel Rosario. Busted out in the Madison at Keeneland. Just a beautiful victory. Won the Spring Fever at Oaklawn. These are dirt races and has to transpire everything to the turf. But you look early in the career and ran a lights out race at Saratoga, crushed that Keeneland, had a little trouble, but was flying late in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint last year. So if this horse finds a navigatable trip, which you know that Joel Rosario will, this horse is right there with the other Wards. So keep that in mind. I am going with the five horse, like I said, Arrest Me Red. Probably going to take Golden Pal second and A Case of You second as well. Not selling that foreign entity short. I'm going to go off of Kamari here as well as Glass Slippers. So I'm looking elsewhere. There are some other contenders in the race. You go further outside, one of my horses that I was looking to draw in, the Beer Can Man, number 16. If he does draw in, I will use him a little, but there's got to be a lot of scratches there. So I'm not thinking that's going to happen. Okay, moving on to the sixth race. Not much to really talk about here. I believe this is a two-horse race. Life is Good is a world champion. You're looking at 4-5. The Kelso was amazing. The Jerkins, the return race against Jackie's Warrior. No disgrace losing by an inch there. And very game. Mike Smith, some people say, blew the ride in that race. This is a very talented Todd Pletcher horse. Going to take a lot of money at the windows. If the horse is to be beat, I will take Ginobili. And I am going to bet Ginobili regardless of if I think Life is Good is going to win or not. Just because I saw Ginobili in person win that Pat O'Brien. That was just ridiculous when he was able to beat CZ Rocket and Flagstaff. And you look at the record over the Del Mar Racecourse, 3-4. Just an accomplished racehorse over the Del Mar course. And if anybody is going to upset Life is Good, that's my selection. But Life is Good is just amazing. I mean, look at the Sham, the San Felipe. We know the parody of the bond trade, going from Baffert, taking to Todd Pletcher. Pletcher knows exactly what to do. So this horse is going to be 2-5, but I'm going to bet Ginobili in the race. I'm going to take a chance. I don't think the Met Mile winner, Silver State, is up to it. I don't like losing to Mind Control that last race at Philadelphia Park. So I'm going to take a pass there. My win bet will go on Ginobili, even though Life is Good is going to be very tough to beat and very short priced. Okay, moving on to the seventh. The Philly Man Turf, another highly contested race. And definitely I am going into a foreign tizzy here, a foreign direction. Rogier, I am going with the four horse, winner of the Prix de l'Opera with a strong closing kick. Cedric Rossi, the trainer, Guillaume in the saddle. I definitely think that this is going to be a nice combination. I think this horse is going to be able to be flying late, if you ask me. You know, they're definitely going to bet the outside horse, the outside foreign horse, or Daria. You know, definitely winner of this race last year. But let's keep in mind that Rogier and Love have beat this horse already. And you have Warlike God as 7-2. Been awesome this year. I mean, Le Perou fits the horse perfectly. Definitely a horse to watch. Definitely a horse that's going to take a lot of money. I mean, you look at these races, and the race at Saratoga in the Flower Bowl was just under wraps. The Glen Falls was monstrous, a mammoth victory. The Bewitched, beautiful, beautiful wins. And Bill Mott, world-class conditioner, 4,000 victories. You can't speak enough about Bill Mott. He's one of the best trainers in the world. So let me tell you something. If anybody's going to beat Rogier, I think it will be Warlike Goddess, not Audrya. I'm definitely looking elsewhere this year. I think that, like I said, Rogier and Love both have victories and both are in this race. And I keep mentioning Love, and Love definitely has a chance. You know, this is a wide open race, the filly and mare turf. It usually is. And you could usually get a nice price in this race. And that's why I'm looking at Rogier. I like the last win. Like I said, in the Prix de l'Opera, a grade one, beautiful win in France. Might like it a little heavier, but they're saying that the tides are playing into the track, and that definitely affects the turf course as well. So I'm definitely going to bet this horse. I'm going to bet this horse to win. I'm going to use Warlike Goddess. And, you know, I'm going to use Audaria because I respect the class level and I respect the ship and I respect the win at Keeneland. But, you know, has not won this year. Would have to find her first win in the winner's circle. And that's going to be tough in this field. So, yeah, you know, this is definitely a race where I think I can make some money. I think we're going to get a good price on this filly and three-year-old. I like her chances. Okay, moving on to the sprint. And what do we have here? Jackie's Warrior. Another short price favorite. So, you know, you go from Life is Good, then you have a good race in between with the filly and mare turf, but now you go back to the sprint and Jackie's Warrior, probably the fastest animal on the planet right now. And, you know, this is another race I can't talk much about because I really like the favorite here. I think this is an accomplished horse. I think this is what Joel is here for. I think this is Steve Asmussen's cup of tea, or Asmussen, whatever you want to call him. But Steve is a legend. He's a great trainer, and he definitely knows how to pull the strings. And he's looking to get multiple wins in these Breeders' Cups. He's looking to win Friday. He's looking to win Saturday. He's looking to win anywhere he can, and Jackie's Warrior is his best chance. Now, if anybody could beat this horse, I'm going to definitely go to the outside. Dr. Chevelle, 3-for-3 at the Del Mar Racecourse. Mark Glatt, like I said, you know, I said this on the Flatter podcast that I made a lot of money with Mark Glatt this year. I think this is one of his top horses. The horse is definitely training lights out. Santa Anita, that blistering workout you look at in late October, and Flavian Pratt. Can't talk about this guy enough. So if I'm going to try to beat, but I'm really not going to, I'm going to make a three-horse box here, guys. And I'm going to use the rail horse as well. Following C, winner of the Vosburgh. Remember, the Vosburgh is 6 furlongs now, guys. And that came against Firenze Fire, who's in this race, who's definitely accomplished. Now, you see Jackie's Warrior did crush, and Life is Good, but the horse has improved since then. This is 6 furlongs, not 7. And was able to turn the tables, beat Firenze Fire, beat an accomplished, but a highly touted Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda was one of them horses that, like, if wins the Vosburgh, is going to be the sprint favorite. And just crushed those two horses, positionally put, tactically put Baby Yoda on the rail, and was just able to win and dominate in that race. Now, naturally, Joel is going to Jackie's Warrior, but you're getting John Velasquez on following C. So definitely, these are two intriguing horses if Jackie's Warrior slips up in Dr. Chevelle and following C. Not so sure Jackie's Warrior is going to slip up, though, guys. So, you know, keep that in mind. I am not positive if that is going to happen. Okay, moving on to the ninth race, and that is the Breeders' Cup Mile. And, you know, I'm going a definite with another foreign horse. I like Space Blues here. I like the way the horses run the whole year. Buick in the saddle. This guy is a monster. Trust me, he knows how to ride these horses. You got Charles Appleby, an excellent trainer. Top-notch trainer. A foreign entity here. Group one. It doesn't matter what order. The last two races have been lights out. And all the horse has to do is go an extra furlong, you know, and there's definitely some accomplished horses here. Mo Forza's in here. Mo Forza is a monster. Let me tell you that right now, guys. Mo Forza is running as good as any horse that I have seen lately at a mile. And you look at Del Mar, 6 starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds, winner of the City of Hope Mile, the Del Mar Mile, just unbelievable runs, and just a real nice horse right now. Peter Miller, one of the top conditioners at Del Mar. We know Peter Miller. He is just always on the top of his game. He will have Mo Forza on the top of his game, and definitely a really nice, nice horse here. And Flavian Pratt in the saddle. Pratt has rode the horse now the last 4 times, and the horse has won all 4 races. So, you know, you go back to last year and the horse has run 5 times, 4 wins. Just an accomplished horse. Loves the Del Mar Strip. Beat Smooth Like Straight twice. And Smooth Like Straight is one of them horses that, you know, you put the horse on the lead and, you know, just a really, really nice horse is Smooth Like Straight. But when Mo Forza is overcoming and running his game, he's definitely tough to beat. Probably in the third position, guys. I'm going to go with Raging Bull in the third position. Chad Brown, one run runner, as I like to say. He's got that closing kick, and definitely it transpired into a victory here at Del Mar. So look deep for that victory. You know, you don't always see it on your racing form, but there is a victory at Del Mar for Raging Bull. And I remember that day just came buzzing like a freight train. And when that horse's closing kick is going, and you get Irad Ortiz at 15-1, you got to start looking. So definitely, you know, I'm going a little chalky with Space Blues. I think the horse could definitely stretch out that extra furlong, 3-1 morning line. But I'm giving you some nice prices. I think Mo Forza will take a lot of beating and a lot of money into that 3-1. And, you know, I think that the price may rise a little on Space Blues and may be a little closer, you know, on Mo Forza. And then you get Raging Bull at 15-1. So you still could be able to make yourself a little, you know, a nice chunk of change here. And, you know, that could definitely help if you're betting on into the next couple of races. And, you know, definitely Got Stormy has a chance. I mean, she's accomplished. Winner of the 4-star Dave beating Boys. You know, I thought she would go the shorter route. You know, didn't accomplish the Jiper this year. Had that run at Kentucky Downs. Last year was a little more favorable going into these races. Was Got Stormy. But now it's a little different. So in the mile, I'll be going with Space Blues. I'm going to take this horse to win and probably key on top of Mo Forza as well as Raging Bull, like I said. So the mile is always one of my favorite races. I can remember the days of Lore, the Haas. We've seen some great horses run. You know, definitely Paulo Lobo is going to take a lot of action. He's got 2 accomplished runners. You know, you see so much. Master of Seas on the rail. Like I said, Space Blues. This is just going to be great, guys. I'll tell you, this is the Breeders' Cup. My favorite time of the year. Just going to take a slight little break here, guys. Get a breath of fresh air, and then we're going to come out like a house of fire for these last couple of races on this great If and Reverse podcast. Always fun Breeders' Cup time, and just going to take a little breather, like I said, guys. Open the door, listen to the Rampart Casino floor buzzing as always. Slot machines going well. Going to take, like I said, a little short break, get a sponsor in the middle here. You know, using Anchor is a great thing, so we're going to get the Anchor sponsor, and then we're going to be right back and sum it up here with the Breeders' Cup podcast, If and Reverse. Okay. Walking through the casino here, getting back into the office. Fabulous Rampart Casino, the Breeders' Cup podcast, if and reverse. Dwayne Colucci, your host as always, the race and sports manager at the Rampart Casino. And we're going to sum up the Breeders' Cup podcast now, finish it up with the final three big races, starting with race 10 at Del Mar, the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And that's only $2 million, guys, as we get into the office. And, yeah, unbelievable. Can't wait for this. You know, this is going to be a highly contested race. Even though Letruska is the champion, you know, this is definitely a highly contested race. And we're geared up here on FM Reverse. We're geared up. Cue up that bugle. I mean, give us a little sounds here. This is horse racing, guys. Sport of kings, still. Still the sport of kings. Remember that. And the Breeders' Cup Distaff, Letruska, once again, one of these big favorites that you're going to see. Maybe not as big, you know, 8-5, though, not as big as Life is Good or as Jackie's Warrior, but this is definitely going to be a heavily bet filly. And, you know, she's been well documented. The victories have come, and it started with Monomoy Girl. That's when the win streak started. And before that, She Dares the Devil did get ahead of Letruska and beat her, but now Letruska is just phenomenal and on a massive win streak and has done very little wrong. You look at the workouts, though, here at Del Mar. They've been a little different. You know, the horse pulled up, actually pulled herself up. So that was interesting. You know, definitely a change of pace for this horse. Irad Ortiz, world championship jockey. You know how I feel about Irad, guys. I think he's the best in the world. So, you know, despite all this going on and all these happenings and this big win streak, you know, what is it now? It looks like it's a 5-race win streak for this horse. Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz has both Ortizes have ridden the horse impeccably. And I'm going to go elsewhere. And I'm going to go to the Magic Man on this one. I'm going to go to Bob Baffert. I think that Private Mission, the 3-year-old, is definitely coming into a big race. Once again, I like the Del Mar win. Definitely a huge, huge win in the Torrey Pines. Then capped it off with a win in the Zenyatta. Three wins in a row now. And definitely one of the top horses in this race. And Flavian Pratt, top rider at Del Mar. You know, multiple riding titles at Del Mar now. He shipped across the country a couple of times and still easily won the Del Mar riding title. So, yeah, definitely, I think Private Mission, you know, that 8-1 morning line, I don't think you'll see that. You know, you might if Malathot takes a lot of money, and Royal Flag, definitely the two. Let's keep an eye on this Chad Brown runner. This horse, let me tell you something. In the Shoe V, I was tearing my tickets up. I was cursing Joel Rosario. And the horse in the last 16th of a mile stretched out like a champion. And let me tell you, if you could get 8-10-1 with Rosario and Chad Brown, you got to look at this horse as well. You know, no shame on Letruska, but there's a lot of horses in this race. I mean, and just like we spoke, Malathot has an excellent chance. The 1, 2, or 3 could easily upset Letruska here. Malathot, winner of the Alabama, winner of the Kentucky Oaks, winner of the Ashland, winner of the Demoiselle. Look, it lost one race, the Coaching Club American Oaks. And, you know, that's at a long distance of ground. You know, it's at Saratoga now. It's not like it used to be, the mile and a half test when you had horses like Mom's Command and Ruffian winning that race. But, you know, still, Malathot and Todd Pletcher and John Velasquez again. Johnny V is just stacked, let me tell you. You look at this card and you look at the card on Friday, Johnny could do a lot of damage. He is definitely a, you know, Hall of Fame. And you look at that Breeze, definitely a nice work at the Belmont training track, 101-1. That's very nice workout. So, you know, you have two nice three-year-olds here when Bob Baffert puts one on and on the track. And you know, Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown, these are accomplished trainers. And, you know, definitely you start, you look at Fausto Gutierrez and you wonder, I mean, a high percentage trainer with a low stock. So you definitely want to trust the guy. But you also have Bob Baffert loading the gun, and you have Chad Brown loading the gun, and you have Todd Pletcher loading the gun. So this is definitely going to be interesting. And we didn't even mention Brad Cox. She dares the devil beat Latruska and Florent Giroux. So the distaff is coming up heavy, guys. Let me tell you something right now. The distaff is going to be one of the best races. Don't just think that Latruska is going to dominate this field. This is going to be a very, very difficult field to dominate. I think Latruska has an excellent, excellent chance. But, you know, I definitely think that the 1, 2, or 3 could win the race. I also want to give a shout out to Blue Stripe, Marcelo Polanco, my boy, definitely. Excellent, excellent conditioner that flies under the radar and definitely is a family, it's a family connection here. If you listen to his interviews, and this horse had a win and you're in from Argentina. The horse seems like, I talked to Marcello, he said, you know, the horse seems like he wants to be kind of close, you know, not too far back, but he's getting a read. Definitely likes the Del Mar area and, you know, Santa Anita and all that. Been working fabulous and, you know, just getting acclimated. And, you know, it seems like you look at this, you look at Hippodromo, you look at Argentina, you know that these horses are slightly inferior, but this horse is definitely accomplished. And when you win a Breeders' Cup when you're in, anything's possible. 6 starts, 4 wins. The Tory is taking them out. So I don't think the Tory would just take any mount. He's only got a couple of mounts on these days anyway, on the Friday and Saturday. But the Tory, Liam Franco, the Tory, top rider in the world, one of the tops. And, you know, his career has been so well documented. He has multiple Breeders' Cup wins, wins in Dubai, wins at Ascot, wins all over the world. So you definitely want a rider like this in the saddle when you have a horse. And, you know, definitely good luck to Marcelo Polanco and his stables, and just a feel-good story because I really love this guy. You know, a good friend of mine. I know him for years. I know his brothers for years. And a really family and a nice, true, true horseman. And, you know, we've seen some bad things happen to him at Santa Anita when he had all that PETA parody and all that crap that was going down. But Marcelo's an excellent conditioner and never puts his horses in a position to, you know, have anything happen to them. So congratulations to take this horse to the Breeders' Cup distaff, a chance for $2 million at Del Mar. I will just throw Blue Stripe in my exotics for the hell of it. But like I said, I'm going to go the Bob Baffert route. I'm going to go with Private Mission. I think Baffert is going to work a little magic here. The Magic Man is going to work his stuff. I'm going to use Royal Flag. I'm going to use Malathot. I got to throw in Marcello's horse. So this is going to be tough. It's tough to throw out horses like Latruska and She Dares the Devil. But I'm going to try to beat Latruska. And a lot of people will be saying, oh, ho, ho, when the race is over, when Latruska crushes. But, you know, I'm not so sold on that. She had now her big win streak. Let's see how she transpires. Never ran at Del Mar, ever. I think that's very important. As I said before, you know, the horse has, what, 20-some-odd career starts and never ran at Del Mar. So that's important. And not that some of these others have run at Del Mar, but Bob Baffert's horse did, Private Mission. So keep your eye on that. I think Malathot's going to be tough too, I'll tell you. The more and more I look at this, I think the 3-year-old fillies definitely have an excellent chance. So, yeah, that's how I handicap the distaff, and that's going to be a tough one, guys. So If M Reverse moves on, we're getting now to the nitty-gritty. 2 best races on the card, supposedly, but they're all great when you're dealing with the Breeders' Cup. And looking at the Breeders' Cup turf, race 11. And now I'm going to go with my boy, Chad Brown. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I think this domestic spending is really on the top of his game. even though ran second in the Mr. D at Arlington. That is a totally different scenario, totally different type of race course. You know, in that race, two Emmys kind of got the jump on domestic spending. It was a sprint to the wire. This domestic spending got crushed in that race. You know, 40 cents on the dollar, so much money backing. And like I said on the Flatter podcast, also listening to Richard Mandela, he was also questioning how quickly how Flavian Pratt just told him, you know, I'm obligated to this horse, domestic spending, you know, going off United, who he rode almost every, I believe every career start, almost every career start, rode United. And at least, you know, you could see every start on the form. And just switched over. And United ran second to Bricks and Mortar in one of the Breeders' Cup turf races. Now, didn't run as well at Keeneland, but now back in his home surroundings, you would think that United is going to be very tough to beat. And you look at a 20-1 morning line. And you're getting John Velasquez. But, you know, what was funny was that Mandela said he was so surprised on how, you know, he just ran to domestic spending. And that's a credit to Chad Brown's runner. Flavian Pratt knows where he's going. He could definitely make a right decision. And, you know, they do have Tribuven there to, you know, ensure a quick pace. I also think that Chad Brown has an excellent chance with his runner from the rail in Rock Emperor. Rock Emperor could definitely be tough here. Don't kid yourself. And Rock Emperor is well accomplished. He's really finding his way now. The Turf Classic was a nice win. Beat Serve the King, another Chad Brown runner who had a tough, tough go of it. Beat Gufo, who's, you know, sitting at 8-1 on the morning line. And this horse is almost double the odds. And you know Gufo, he had some he's a goofy runner. He's way out there in the 11 hole, but you know, you're getting Joel Rosario with him, and once again, Christophe Clement looking to get that you know, monkey off his back and get that win in a Breeders' Cup race. Tarnawa is back, you know, looking to defend, you know, her championship and definitely skipping. That's what's important. Tarnawa not going in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare turf, which could have been a softer spot. And she won her opening race this year, but has yet to win since then. And, you know, what is interesting about Tarnawa, the competition level is so high when you look at the Irish champion and you look at the Prix d'Arc de Triomphe, and now, you know, having to ship, and you look at such a tight spacing of these races, some races less than a month apart, and now shipping all the way to Del Mar, this is definitely going to be, you know, a unique challenge. You know, gets his usual rider, but, you know, and the winner of the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, the same rider in Keene, but definitely, I think, you know, Dermot Weld is a top-notch trainer, and he definitely knows where to place his horses, but kudos to this horse, and you look at 9-5, and you're like scratching your head. If this horse could accomplish these four races in that short period of time, I would definitely say this is one of the best turf horses I've ever seen. Despite not winning the last two, but just being able to compete at a top, top level in the ARC, in the Champions, in the Breeders' Cup turf. So, you know, I'm going to see. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach here. I'll use the horse in exotics, but, you know, I think that it's a rough campaign. And, you know, also, you know, you look at the 12 horse, Tianoa. You know, I went that route last year when I took the three-year-old that looked like, you know, the foreign three-year-old was coming into the race so strong, and the horse just didn't fire and was over bet. And I just can't think of the name of that horse, but it was a three-year-old, you know, similar path going into the Breeders' Cup turf, and, you know, it took a ton of action and just was on the outside, similar like the 12-hole that Tianoa is in here. You know, I just can't. I have to take a pass because I learned the hard way the last time. And nice, like we said, Group 1 win in France at Longchamps. I hate to take a pass, but I have to because, like I said, it was very difficult learning experience. Then also you have another accomplished foreign horse that traveled to win the Jockey Club Derby Invitational at Belmont, and that's Yabir. And Spencer really rode that horse well that day, and that horse got bet. extremely good run, and that was just an impressive race at Belmont. Spencer was on. Now you get Buick. Buick is an excellent rider, so you don't get any or lose anything right there. On the far outside, Japan came in, ran good in the Sword Dancer, suspect in the Turf Classic, Rock Emperor crushed, has been behind Gufo and Rock Emperor, so, you know, it's hard to pick a horse out of the 14 hole with Ryan Moore, even though he's accomplished some really nice things overseas as well. You know, came in off of a group listed victory and just ran second in a grade one and now, you know, flat a little. I thought that I used Japan a lot in the Turf Classic, you know, with Rock Emperor and the Serve the King, but I was just so disappointed. He just flattened out. He didn't run the same race. And maybe, you know, he'll find himself at Del Mar. But there's another horse, 20 to 1. You know, you see in Tarnawa at 9-5, and you know, you see the races that just jump off the page and the class level, but it's just how grueling is this going to be, this campaign? And getting back to it, that's why I'm going to stick with Rock Domestic Spending and Rock Emperor. Going to key Domestic Spending, use Rock Emperor in the second hole. So I'm going Chad Brown in the Breeders' Cup Turf where there's no disgrace there. Let me tell you something. Tribuvon, I've made a ton of money with as well. I was so disappointed in the Manhattan the day Domestic Spending passed him. I did have Domestic Spending and him boxed, so I made a nice exacta, had to try that day. You know, definitely then followed up with the UN and, you know, actually bet the horse against Gufo in Japan in the Sword Dancer where the horse was $2, you know, 260 cents, 260 on the dollar. And, you know, didn't get the outcome that I was looking for, but he'll definitely ensure a quick pace here. And I'll throw all the Chad Browns in the exactas. Why not? You know, I'm going to key Domestic Spending. I'll use Rock Emperor. I'll use Tribuvon. Astronaut. This is another horse where, you know, you get the home field advantage. You get Victor Espinoza, one of the top riders in the country. And the horse just really shocked this. John Sheriff's horse really in the Del Mar handicap shocked and paid a huge price, you know, somewhere near $50, but, you know, definitely ran respectable in the Capistrano as well. So, you know, this is a horse that definitely is finding himself and looks to be fit and at a huge price can be used in exotics. I mean, if you're going to look to beat the favorite here, you might as well go into a tizzy with the Chad Brown horses because he's so accomplished. Use a house horse, you know, use a few things. This is a race where I will go very deep because I'm looking for a price. And if Tarnawa beats me, then so be it. But Domestic Spending is not going to be that far of a difference in price from Tarnawa just because I think a lot of people are going to realize the grueling campaign and that the horse did not win the arc, fell a little short, and, you know, did not win the race prior to that. But Domestic Spending, he didn't win either his prep. So, you know, you got a lot of parity here, guys. This is what makes horse racing so great. Rock Emperor did win that last race. That last race, let me tell you guys, it really was strong. You know, it was a plodding race. It was a plodding race course that day. And Rock Emperor just found the seam, took control. Javier Castellano, you know, a lot of people were down on him because he had a slow start early in the year. He has now found his stride and is back riding with the top in the world and definitely needs to be used. So I will be using the 3 on top of the 1, 4, 5. Still looking for more horses, guys. 10 and 13. So there you go on the Breeders' Cup Turf, which will definitely be an action-packed, thrilling race. Race 11 on Saturday at Del Mar. Now we slide right into the finale and the last race and the last thing we will cover here on the If and Reverse podcast, the Breeders' Cup Classic. And this is the heavyweight showdown. You have Nick's Go. You got the Derby winner, Medina Spirit. Essential Quality, winner of the Belmont, the Jim Dandy, and the Travers. You know how hard it is to do the Jim Dandy Travers double? I try to tell people that all the time. So few horses have done that. You know, you got to go back years to win the Jim Dandy and the Travers at the Saratoga Beat. Very few horses. I mean, you've seen some horses crushing the Jim Dandy and then not run the Travers, and horses that, you know, would either skip the Jim Dandy or not run effectively and then crushing the Travers. So Essential Quality was able to complete that double. Keep that in mind. That's just a fabulous accomplishment. But let me tell you, in this race, you know, from a speed figure perspective and from an all-sort perspective, Nick Skoe is just amazing, guys. This is an animal that is just bred to get to the lead. Tremendous speed, tremendous turn of foot. And the question here is, will a horse sacrifice his chances of winning the race just to cook Nick Skoe? And will Medina Spirit be that horse? I don't know. I mean, Medina Spirit was monstrous in the Shared Belief. Rock Your World really cranked up that day, ran very well. And let me tell you, in the Awesome Again, it was just then a freakish performance. But you look back and you see some losses. But you're talking about against Life Is Good, who's going to be 2-5 in the Dirt Mile. And a lot of people feel that would have been the favorite in this race, possibly. You know, I don't think he would have been the favorite, but he would have taken a ton of action right into Nick Skoe, right into Essential Quality, right into Medina Spirit. So, you know, Medina Spirit's a weird horse. Let me tell you, I got critics out there. You know, former rider Karen Rogers was giving me crap because I give the horse a lot of credit. You look at the post parade, I put that out on my Twitter feed, my Instagram feed. I was there that day. The track had a little moisture. That was one of the rare days where it actually rained earlier in the card on Shared Belief Day at Del Mar. And Medina Spirit was on the top of his game. Then he summed it up with just a crushing. And the Awesome Again is always the number one prep, West Coast prep, for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So definitely a nice win there. And like I said, Karen Rogers was saying the horse has bad knees. You know, Baffert, very critical, what have you. But I got to say the horse has and deserves a lot of credit. So Medina Spirit is definitely a major player here. I really like Nick Skoe, guys, though. I think he's really going to be tough to get in that first quarter and half mile. I don't think anybody has the speed to go out with him. And, you know, at times, Del Mar is a very speed-favoring track. You know, it's hard to make up a lot of ground if he has an easy lead. I mean, maybe Hot Rod Charlie will go out there. He's really peaking now. I mean, since the Haskell takedown, he had the duel with Essential Quality. That was a beautiful, beautiful run to Belmont. I mean, was very, very respectable in the Kentucky Derby. You know, you look at the Louisiana Derby win. It's an accomplished horse, and you're getting Pratt. And Doug O'Neill, like I said, who's just been on fire. But this is another horse where, I mean, were these horses as good as Nick Skoe and as Essential Quality? Now, he ran against Essential Quality in the Belmont, but he failed. Then he nearly, you know, in the Haskell, you know, definitely came over and took a horse down. Horse fell and all that. Definitely deserved to be disqualified. But I was very critical in that race, too, because I thought Pratt kept somewhat of a, you know, a straight path. But, you know, he kind of crossed over. Midnight Bourbon, what have you. You know, there was a catastrophic event there. No, nobody was massively injured or nobody put down. But when you're on the center stage, the Haskell Grade 1 televised and you get disqualified, place 7th. And Pratt then, you know, was up to his same old antics in the Pennsylvania Derby, taking Midnight Bourbon out again. And there was a foul claim in that race, I believe, too. So now you're seeing Hot Rod Charlie go back to the blinkers after two of his best races. The blinkers, you know, ran well with them in the Derby and in the Belmont. But, you know, maybe the horse just doesn't like the blinkers, runs a little freely without them, and the Haskell and the Pennsylvania Derby victory showed that. So, you know, Hot Rod Charlie is very unique horse, putting the blinkers back on. You're getting Doug O'Neill. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize anybody who backs him. I'm going to take a pass, maybe use in some exotics. I just think Essential Quality and Nick Skoe are better horses than Hot Rod Charlie. Okay, getting back now to the rail, Triple E. Another nice horse, you know, Tiago Pereira unfortunately loses the mount, but you're losing the mount to experience, and Irad Ortiz in a big money race. Tripoli won the Pacific Classic, really nice run that day, and just controlled the race, and then just couldn't follow it up against Medina Spirit, and was bet well into Medina Spirit, because a lot of people still questioning the health and the Bob Baffert and all that parity. But, you know, Tripoli has some really nice runs on the Del Mar course. You look at those two races, the San Diego and the Pacific Classic, and they're beautiful, beautiful races. But is this horse up to this competition level? And that's why they're bringing in Irad to get the ultimate out of the horse, crushed by Medina Spirit in the awesome again. The horse underneath, Express Train, beat Tripoli in the San Diego handicap, but has not duplicated that. Just got ran off his feet by Tripoli in the Pacific Classic, and actually ran better than Tripoli in the Awesome Again. So he is trading places here. I mean, these are California handicap horses. They're very accomplished, but I think they're a little notch below even a Hot Rod Charlie, or Tripoli and Express Train. Now we go to the six horse, Art Collector. Very intriguing. Winner of the Woodward, winner of the Charlestown Classic, winner of the Alidar. You know, had that big, long win streak. Was the horse that everybody thought was going to beat everybody in the Preakness and faltered. Then went on a losing streak. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, ran against Nick Sko, got destroyed at $4 on the dollar. Jesus's team, Sharp Samurai, they all beat him that day. And not that they're not accomplished horses. Sharp Samurai is a nice horse. Trust me, Mark Ladhorse, Nick's Go. No shame in losing to Nick's Go, because you're going to be a nice price here. And, you know, the only thing you have to understand, Luis Saez is going to Essential Quality. And I totally, totally trust Luis's judgment. And I think he is going to the right horse. I'll be with you. I'll be honest with you. I think Art Collector is one-dimensional. He may be one of the horses that tries to go out with Nick's Go. But you look on the page, and, you know, Art Collector could sit second, maybe. But every big race that Art Collector has run, he's been on the lead. No disgrace in Mike Smith. Definitely a top money rider in the world. So Mike Smith taking that mount is no disgrace. Stiletto's Boy ran really well against Medina Spirit, and ran really well against Medina Spirit and Rock Your World. Is improving. Kent DeSormo, Eddie Moger trained, house horse, definitely could get a piece, you know, if you're looking for a late closer. You got to look between him and Max Player. Max Player loves those distances, so, you know, he'll be parked on the outside. He's going to be looking to uncork a nice rally, you know, but his best running, he's also close usually when he does his best running. So a lot of these horses, you know, they like to be close. But how close could you be to Nick's Go? That's the whole key. I mean, are you going to be able to duplicate that speed? I mean, the Lucas Classic was just a showcase. That was a workout. The Whitney was just monstrous. And you're looking at the speed. Look at it, 47 flat, 46 and 3. Can these horses get that? I mean, for a race to unravel, they're going to really have to push to a 46, and I don't know. I mean, can Medina Spirit get that? The Shared Belief was a mile, and, you know, he was able to get the 22, but, you know, 46 and 4 on the second call there. Now, on a long-distance race, when you're doing 46 and 3 in the first call for Nick's Go, you know Nick's Go is traveling at a 22-quarter pace, 23-quarter pace. But Nick's Go also could falter. You know, we've seen it, the Metropolitan, but that was a sprint. I think this horse is way better suited for longer distances. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile was just totally tailor-made going into the race last year, coming off that unbelievable run at Keeneland and just keeping him honed in. Then they stretched him out in the Pegasus World Cup, and that was just unbelievable. That was just amazing and just crushed. Saudi Cup, you know, tough to go all the way to Saudi Arabia. Then came back for the Metropolitan, lost that race. But now on that big three-race win streak, Nick's Go is very difficult to beat here. As the more and more I look at it. And that's including Belmont Travers and Jim Dandy winner Essential Quality, who this is going to be a fabulous duel, but it's both Brad Cox trainees, guys. Keep that in mind. Brad is holding all the aces here. Like we said, Medina Spirit, beautiful horse. I give Medina a lot of credit. I think probably the third best horse in the race. And I'm saying better than Hot Rod Charlie. And Max Player, who's on a nice win streak now, winning the Suburban and winning the Jockey Club in impressive fashion. And beating some nice horses there. I think he beat Maxfield, didn't he, once in there? Happy Saver, Forza D'Oro, took these horses right off of the Breeders' Cup Classic Trail. So Max Player, he'll be looking to pick up the pieces. You know, Ricardo Santana is going to be hungry after that fiasco with Echo Zulu. So, yeah, the Classic is an awesome race, guys. We always love it. We always talk about it. I'm definitely going to be betting Nick's Go in that race, using Essential Quality, using the Cox Exacta Box. Going to throw in Medina Spirit and Max Player, and maybe even Stiletto Boy in some of these long, long exotics. Because that's what the Breeders' Cup is all about, guys. And, once again, we're wrapping it up here. If and reverse. Hope I could give you guys some winners on this fabulous day. Try to share my knowledge, break it down from a bookmaker's perspective. But this is more of a horse racing experienced handicapper's perspective. And, I'm glad I could share this with you guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks for listening in. If and Reverse, live from the Rampart Casino here in fabulous Las Vegas. And casino floor is hustling, rustling, and bustling, and it will be this whole weekend. So remember, at the Rampart Casino starting Friday, we will have ample seating for the Breeders' Cup. Saturday's going to be off the hook. Get there early, guys. Unfortunately, we do not reserve seats. My players, some of them do have their nameplates on their seats, and those seats will be reserved and consistent. But, first come, first serve, especially with the college football. And then we sum it up with an NFL Sunday. So, yeah, I'm going to be pretty busy. It was budget week, too, at the Rampart. So, that's what the job is all about when you're a bookmaker here in Las Vegas. You even got to do budgets and schedules and all that stuff. Thanks for joining me on If Then Reverse. I'm your host, Dwayne Colucci, signing off. And hope you cash some tickets, like my friend Brent Musburger says. It's all about cashing tickets. So good luck. Thank you.